The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, it's a Monday edition of PFTPM, and all of these players have gotten together, and I appreciate it very much. They decide, apparently among themselves, which days they are going to take over the news cycle. We get to focus on Russell Wilson. We get to focus on Ben Roethlisberger. And Monday, just as I started to wonder what the hell are we going to talk about here, PFTPM, 5 Eastern on Peacock, J.J. Watt posts the picture of himself in an Arizona Cardinals T-shirt. J.J. Watt, 17 days into his 33-day head start on free agency, he has a new team. I can't tell if that's real or if that's photoshopped. Either way, Cardinals. I did a double take when I saw it. I thought he was messing with us in some way. He wasn't. He has signed with the Cardinals. Shireen, good afternoon. And what was your first reaction when you saw that tweet?
Surprise, Mike. Surprise for what they're paying him, and surprise that it was the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, when we went on with Miles and did our picks, right, we picked 9 teams. The Cardinals were not among those 9 teams that we picked. So total surprise out of the blue that the Cardinals are the team. But I thank J.J. Watt for doing something today, because I always laugh when people ask me, what do you do in the offseason? Well, there's something every single day, it seems.
Oh, it is funny that people think we just shut it down the day after the Super Bowl and do nothing until training camps open and or the regular season begins, because a lot of people don't pay attention to football until the games are on TV. But yeah, there's always something. Even on a day when we think there's going to be nothing, there inevitably will be something. And it is J.J. Watt, member of the Cardinals. Multiple reports are that it's a 2-year $31 million deal. That's $15.5 million per year, $23 million guaranteed. Now, we've learned over time that when the reports say guaranteed and not fully guaranteed, it's not fully guaranteed. It's guaranteed for injury. How much is fully guaranteed at signing? That's the key. But for a guy like J.J. Watt, it helps to have that injury guarantee, because you can almost guarantee he's going to be injured, and he'd have protection against any compensation next year that otherwise would be non-guaranteed. But just like any of these other deals, Shireen, I want to see what the details are. Signing bonus, full guarantee at signing, cash flow this year, cash flow next year. I mean, in theory, it could be backloaded. And I know there are rules on how much you can dump into the second year, but for cap purposes, since it's going to be low this year, they could have pushed as much as possible into next year. And maybe a lot of it isn't guaranteed next year. So we'll wait and see. But with only a 2-year deal, it's hard to hide a whole lot of fluff in the contract. 2 years, $31 million. If he plays for them for 2 years, he's going to get the 31. The question is it 1 year that he's with the Cardinals, or is it two?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And the devil is always in the details, and agents always tend to inflate these numbers, as we know. Every agent does it. It's great when it first comes out, because people forget. All they see is the 2 years, $31 million. They forget the rest when you go back and you write, well, it really means this, this, and this. People don't remember that. They just remember the 2 years, $31 million. When you go back and write other stories, it's 2 years, $31 million, no matter what the real final numbers say, Mike. And so, you know, it will be interesting to see what this entails to the Cardinals, how long he plays the Cardinals, but they have become the Houston West, I guess, Texans West, whatever you want to call it, because we're seeing an influx of players from Texas headed that way. Kyler Murray, of course, didn't play for the Texans, but he is from Texas, and now they have DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt, two of the best players in Texans history, frankly, Mike.
The thing that fascinates me is the possibility, however slim it may be, but something that dawned on me after I considered DeAndre Hopkins with the Cardinals, J.J. Watt with the Cardinals, Deshaun Watson wants out of the Texans. Could the Cardinals become intrigued by the possibility of a flip-flop? Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson. Reminds me a lot of the old Dan Pastorini for Kenny Stabler trade back from our childhood, and I remember how stunned I was when that happened. Straight up, quarterback for quarterback. I think the chances of it happening are ridiculously small, but it's hard not to at least think about it because it would put Kyler Murray back in Texas. And it would put Deshaun Watson back with DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt, and it would give him what he wants, his ticket out of Houston. Now, Kyler Murray may not want to be a Texan. That's a different issue altogether. But it's hard not to at least think about that when you consider that Hopkins got what he wanted, his reunion with J.J. Watt. And we have Kyler Murray. He tweeted something today. Let's see what it is. I haven't seen it yet, full transparency. And here it is. Here it is. Here it comes. I mean it this time. Here it is. Kyler Murray with J.J. Watt. When Kyler Murray was a senior in high school, that's also Carl Anthony Towns with J.J. Watt. J.J. looking a little large there. I don't know, maybe it's just a bad camera angle, but he is large. He just looks a little larger right there. Kyler Murray, not large next to J.J. Watt or next to me, as the case may be, yeah. Shireen. But, yeah, they are teammates. They are teammates at least for now. But in this crazy upside-down offseason, I will rule out nothing, not a thing. And the chances of Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury separating are very, 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 very slim. But it's fun to think about Deshaun Watson to the Cardinals and Kyler Murray to the Texans because, really, as the Texans go, when you're talking about a straight-up quarterback-for-quarterback deal and replacing what you have with another guy who is a rare talent, there aren't many guys out there that would suit that, and I think Kyler Murray would.
I think the Cardinals would have to throw in something else. They don't have David Johnson anymore to throw in. I'm kind of saying that jokingly. I think
there's got
to
be somebody else they have whose contract they want to get rid of.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But whoever it is, Mike, it would save face for the Texans, right? Texans fans are going to be mad if they trade Deshaun Watson. There's no question about that. They're going to be furious, and they're going to be furious with Jack Easterby. But if you brought in a player like Kyler Murray, who grew up in Texas, who played at Texas A&M briefly before going to Oklahoma, who has ties, deep ties to the state of Texas, plenty of Texas fans would be thrilled with this if Kyler was thrilled with going to Houston. But Texas fans, I just think it really makes sense if you're going to trade Deshaun Watson, and it's obvious to everyone except the Texans that they're going to have to do that. This totally makes perfect sense, and it upgrades the Cardinals too, because we all think Deshaun Watson has done more so far in his career than Kyler Murray has, right? So I think it would be an upgrade for the Cardinals. So it does make sense. I don't think it ever happens, but it does make perfect sense to me that would be a trade that would work out for both teams. We don't see many trades that work out for both teams. We saw the Diggs trade last year worked out for Minnesota, obviously, with the draft pick they used on Justin Jefferson, and it worked out for the Bills because Diggs had a great year for the Bills. So not many of these do. That would be one I could see working out for both teams, Mike.
Yeah. The wild card, though, would be Kyler Murray. Does he want to do it? And even though he doesn't have a no-trade clause, you don't want a franchise quarterback who doesn't want to be with the franchise. And also, he could always say, see you later, I'm going to play baseball. That would be the other risk that the Texans would have to assume. Now, they could collect some money back from Kyler Murray. He's got 2 years of signing bonus that, to date, he has not yet earned. But even then, you're right, the check, if you're getting some big signing bonus to go play for the A's or whoever would hold his rights right now in baseball. Remember, he was a top 10 draft pick in the MLB draft, and that leverage always exists that he can say, see you later to football. And, you know, look at it this way. He can go to the Texans for 2 years and then just leave at that point and owe them nothing if he decides to go play baseball, because there would be no repayment obligation in his fifth year option. So, again, it's just something I thought of. And it does make sense for the Texans, and you could argue it makes sense for the Cardinals, and the only person it may not make sense for is Kyler Murray, and it's fairly important that it would make sense for Kyler Murray. DeAndre Hopkins has to be happy. We first had the possibility of J.J. Watt on the Cardinals' radar screen thanks to DeAndre Hopkins' tweet, which was a perfect Photoshop in the Cardinals' uniform, complete with the Larry Wilson number 8 tribute on the jersey. So Hopkins ahead of his time on this, and Hopkins gets his wish, a reunion with J.J. Watt. That was very well done. That was right out of the gates. That was day one. That is some excellent Photoshop work. I did a double take because it kind of looks like a Texans dark blue, like really dark. I was like, what is that? And then I saw the Cardinals logo on Hopkins' jersey. I saw the eight ball on the left shoulder of Watt. It's like, holy crap, they did some sort of a Photoshop with him in Cardinals gear. And well done there. And well done, Cardinals. You got J.J. Watt. Here's the other thing I'd like to know, Shireen. What was the next best offer for J.J. Watt? Was there someone else offering 2 years 30? Was it 2 years 25? How were the Cardinals positioned with another team, and were they ultimately bidding against themselves to pay that kind of money to get J.J. Watt? Because I feel like instead of him chasing a potential championship, he chased the almighty dollar, which is perfectly fine. Got no problem with it. I'm a capitalist. But it feels more like instead of saying I'm going to a place where I think the deck is stacked in my favor to get a ring, I'm going to a place where I'm going to get some coin instead.
No question about it, Mike. I mean, if you're going to go to a contender, right, you're going to go to Tampa, you're going to go to Kansas City. I mean, there's Green Bay. There's multiple places that I would have picked over the Cardinals. Not that they're not going to be in contention, because I think they have a pretty good roster, but they just haven't shown that they're ready to take that next step. I mean, they went 8-8 and didn't even make the postseason this year. So there were other places that J.J. Watt could have gone that perhaps could have gotten him to a Super Bowl quicker than the Cardinals. And it is obvious that he probably went for the money, Mike. And I will be curious, like you, how many teams got in on this? How many teams were truly offering good money to J.J. Watt? Perhaps this was the only offer of big money that he had, and so he took it. And that's fine. But, you know, to say you're going to a contender, I'm not sure that quite worked out like that. Now, he did say he wanted to go to a place that had a quarterback. So it's obvious he has a belief in Kyler Murray, like a lot of people do. He did make his first Pro Bowl this year. So, but Kyler's got to prove it, right? He's got to prove it in the postseason, which he hasn't done yet. So we'll see how that works out. But I would have picked Pittsburgh, perhaps, joining his brothers. I know the cap problems they have. Tennessee made sense to me because Mike Vrabel's there. This just was not even on my radar of teams that I would have seen J.J. Watt going to.
Well, I thought Buffalo. I thought Cleveland.
Buffalo, perhaps.
Right?
Green
I think
Bay.
Both of them are more viable contenders when you consider the division. Rams beefing up with Matthew Stafford. Seahawks, unless they trade Russell Wilson. 49ers, if they're healthy. The Cardinals could end up in fourth place. They could be an improved team and be in fourth place in their own division. And, you know, now that there are three wildcard teams, it is possible that one of these divisions could send all four teams to the playoffs. And if any division would do it, it would be the NFC West. But I just think this is more about understanding there's only so much you can control. There's only so much of a difference one guy can make. So since I can't force the road to the Super Bowl through my own backyard, I can't control it as one human being on a football team. Let's just go get paid with a team that we think is reasonably in contention. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, I got a lot of money for the physical risks and sacrifices that I take every time I step onto that field. And we know with J.J. Watt, that's a significant thing. Now, in the Photoshop that we had of J.J. Watt with DeAndre Hopkins, he was wearing number 99. That maybe a problem, as pointed out by Darren Urban of the Cardinals and others. 99 is retired by the Arizona Cardinals. Marshall Goldberg, Elkins, West Virginia native, which I did not know until right before the play. And there he is. Marshall Goldberg, skinnier than me, running the football, no face mask days, with the Chicago Cardinals. This is why, frankly, Shireen, I'm not a big fan of the retired jerseys. Because you will eventually get to a point where people will be like, who? I'm not the football historian that Chris Sims is, but I bet he doesn't know who Marshall Goldberg is either. And hell, I live an hour from Elkins. I should know that. I said, you know, maybe I've driven to Elkins and there's a big sign that says home of Marshall Goldberg, and it's just never registered that he was an NFL player who has his number retired by the Chicago Cardinals, now the Arizona Cardinals. But, you know, at some point you run out of numbers you can retire. It's always something that's kind of made me nervous in an OCD kind of way. Like, at what point do you have to say, remember that whole thing with retired numbers, we have to not do that. And In this case, J.J. Watson's going to have to pick a different number.
I love what the Cowboys do. They don't retire numbers. So 12 hasn't been worn since Roger Staubach, but if you had a quarterback coming in like a Trevor Lawrence and he asked to wear 12, I bet the Cowboys would do it. 88 has become a very historical number for the Cowboys. You know, we've seen Dez and Bob and Michael Irvin and all these guys wear 88, and it's become a traditional number. Drew Pearson just went into the Hall of Fame with 88. I like that kind of thing, Mike, where you kind of hand down those great numbers and you only do it to great players, because we want to see J.J. Watt, right, in a 99 jersey. Is there any possible way they can waive this and say, we're going to let him play in 99? Can you unretire a number? I don't know if it's ever been done before.
Oh, it has been. Peyton Manning, when he went to Denver, Frank Trpucka. And I'm just going to say it, because I didn't like it then, and the passage of time does not make me like it anymore. I don't like the idea that Peyton Manning puts the muscle verbally on Frank Trpucka, because what's Frank Trpucka going to say? No. You put him in a tough spot. You ask him if you can wear his number. He's not going to say, you know what, they retired my number. You come off as petty. If you say, well, you know what, it is my number, and I'm not going to let you wear it. Now, one of these days, I'd love to see a Colts player, number 18, ask Peyton Manning, hey, can I wear your number, and see what Peyton Manning would do. I just don't like that. And I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. And I don't like the idea, and I hope it doesn't happen, that the Cardinals ask the family of Marshall Goldberg, hey, do you mind if this guy wears your number 99? Because you're in a position where you come off as perceived as a jerk if you say no.
And Tom Brady was ready to change numbers, right? If Chris Godwin didn't give him the number, he was ready to change numbers. I mean, if Tom Brady can do it, anybody can do it, right? And he ended up not having to do it, obviously, because Chris Godwin gave up the number. But, hey, you know, it's been done where guys have played one number with one team and a different number with a different team. And he's going to sell a lot of jerseys. Whatever that number is, Mike, the Cardinals are going to see a lot of those jerseys in the stands next year, 99 or not 99, no matter what it is. J.J. Watt jerseys will be in the stands in Arizona next year.
And I understand the psychology of it, but it is a dehumanizing digit that is placed onto your jersey that just helps the officials distinguish one gladiator from the other. And I guess taking control and saying this is my number is a way to inject your own humanity into this dehumanizing effort of placing numbers on people. I get that. But at a certain point, you got to say it doesn't matter. I'm still the same player. Whatever number I wear is the number I wear. And I just think that, hey, he had to go into this eyes wide open. And for all, hey, for all we know, part of the negotiation was the Cardinals are going to take it on themselves to get Marshall Goldberg's family to let J.J. Watt wear number 99. I hope that, I'm not a fan of retiring numbers, but I hope that the retirement of Marshall Goldberg's number is respected, Shereen.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And, you know, pick another number, J.J., and you'll be known for 99 in Houston and a different number in Arizona. I do have a question here, Mike, because Hassan Reddick probably leaves now, right, in free agency, and he wanted to stay there, and he had 12 and a half sacks. Of course, five of them came in one game. Do you think J.J. Watt is a significant upgrade on Hassan Reddick? I have wrestled with this all day. Now, he's going to be a better leader. I get that. Veteran leadership, everything he brings to the team. But is he, at this point in his career, a better pass rusher than Hassan Reddick?
Well, I think he's more consistent, and he is a better leader. He's what they need, I think, to coalesce their defense. Who's the guy, when you think of the Cardinals defense, who's the guy that's the heart and soul? Do they have a guy who's the heart and soul of the defense? They really don't. Now they suddenly have
Chandler
a heart
Jones?
And soul. I mean, Chandler Jones, yeah, he's the best player, but is he the heart and soul? Is he the guy that pulls it all together? I feel like they haven't had a guy that pulls it all together since Tyrann Mathieu. And even with him, he was kind of a step behind Patrick Peterson. I think this makes it more and more clear that Patrick Peterson's going to be gone. I just think they want a sheriff for their defense, a guy who brings it all together, a guy who's going to help fill the stadium a year after the pandemic, and he will sell a lot of jerseys, create some excitement, and if it makes the Cardinals better, it makes the Cardinals better. And it makes me wonder what other moves they're going to make. You know, Sims and I talked earlier today about how much of a salesman Kyler Murray can be to attract free agents who get cut, who don't get the offers that they think they deserve, and they start looking for a team. Having Watt with the Cardinals makes the Cardinals more viable to attract some of these free agents who are going to be available.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Mike. And the Cardinals do need to upgrade at some positions, and he can do that, and I think he will do that. You know, the top two since Chandler Jones came into the league in 2012, he has the most sacks in the NFL, and J.J. Watt is second. But I wonder from J.J. Watt's standpoint, how much having a guy like Jadeveon Clowney when he was there really helped him. And he hasn't had him the last couple years, and you've seen those sack numbers come down. So I'm going to be real curious to see if it was the fact that he was getting double-teamed a whole bunch that led to his declining sack numbers over the last 2 years, and whether he will be helped by Chandler Jones. If Chandler Jones could stay healthy, maybe J.J. Watt's numbers go up because they're going to be doubling Chandler Jones. So this could really be a great pairing for the Cardinals and an improvement on their defense. I like Hassan Reddick and what he did, but I do agree with you that J.J. Watt has more leadership, and really that is kind of the guy they can look to on that defense to kind of lift that defense up. Probably, you're right, something that they have needed. Patrick Peterson might have been that guy before his play kind of declined. I'm not sure he's that guy now.
The thing that makes me nervous more than anything else is the injury history because of the position he plays, the wear and tear. And I admire a player who understands all the work, all the effort, all the training. It's all put at risk every time he steps onto that field. And it's not a matter of if, but when. There's going to be another injury that's going to cause surgery, rehab, effort. I think it was a hernia surgery, core muscle injury in Philadelphia several years ago. And I think this was in one of Peter King's columns about just the despair that you feel. And at some point you ask yourself, why am I putting myself through this? But it shows you have a true love of the game. And here he is, Hall of Famer, and now he gets a chance to pursue a championship with a team that is better than the team that he was with, although that's a fairly low bar given where the Texans are right now. Speaking of the Texans, they play the Cardinals this year in Arizona. The Packers come to Arizona. The Cardinals go to the Titans, so he'll have that Mike Vrabel reunion. He goes back to Texas. How about them Cowboys hosting the Cardinals this year? And based on Peter King's explanation of how they're going to do the 17th game, he'll get to go to Cleveland, a place that was courting him aggressively. He'll be in Cleveland after all, but for one night and one night only when the Cardinals come to town for that 17th game. Not that it'll be the last game of the season, but it's the extra game this year. It will pit the Cardinals against the Browns. So if Peter's report from today, I have no reason to doubt it, but if that 17th game ends up pitting third-place team from the NFC West against third-place team from the AFC North. So there'll be some intriguing games that have a little more spice. You know, the free agency and the draft will give some of these games that we know are already going to be on the schedule more intrigue. And so here are four or five more games that have more intrigue with Watt picking the Cardinals, Shireen.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him play the Texans. I only wish that game was in Houston, Mike. I think that would be fun to see DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt go back to Houston, but we'll have to settle for Houston coming to them, and it will be a different look for them playing against the Texans. Really strange.
Now, J.J. Watt's decision to sign with the Cardinals knocked Russell Wilson off the top of the stack. But there was an intriguing development as it relates to Russell Wilson, one of his four preferred destinations, one of the quarterbacks playing for one of those four teams, and one of that quarterback's immediate family members. If you're confused, good. That's the goal. We want you to stick around and see what that's all about when PFTPM continues right here, right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable, but the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Okay, so Russell Wilson, through his agent on the record last week, said Russell's yet to request a trade. He wants to stay in Seattle. But in the event that the Seahawks would decide just on their own to trade one of the best quarterbacks in football to another team, Russell would accept a trade to four teams: Cowboys, Saints, Bears, and the Raiders. And that's fascinating to me because David Carr, number one overall pick of the Houston Texans back in 2002, their first year of existence, and also the older brother of Derek Carr, the current starting quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, wrote an article that was posted today by NFL.com listing the top 10 quarterbacks that can be acquired this year by free agency, trade, or the draft. At number two, behind Deshaun Watson, the current Texans quarterback, is Russell Wilson. And one of the quotes from the David Carr, brother of Derek Carr, article is, "If I'm one of those four teams, i.e. the Raiders, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, I'm picking up the phone yesterday. He, Russell Wilson, is everything you want in a quarterback with endless talent, arm strength, poise, and intelligence. Plus, he has the kind of ice in his veins that gives his team a chance to win late in games, no matter how great the deficit. He'll cost a great deal, but the on-field production and leadership you'd get in return would be worth it." Did I mention that David Carr's brother is the starting quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders? What in the hell is going on here? I was stunned, especially because 2018, the last year and perhaps the only year that David Carr ranked quarterbacks in the offseason, he had his brother Derek ahead of Russell Wilson.
And guess what, Mike? Derek Carr is known for blocking people on Twitter, so I haven't checked lately to see if he has blocked his brother on Twitter, but I think that might be coming once he sees this. Yeah, it was kind of weird that he would put the Raiders in that list, considering his brother is the starting quarterback, we think, of the Raiders, and starting quarterback of the Raiders perhaps in 2021 or perhaps not. Who knows? Maybe he knows something we don't know, Mike. But it was very strange to see David Carr write that. And I'm sure it's a difficult position sometimes that he's in because his brother is a starting quarterback of the Raiders. But still, just a strange thing to say when your brother is a starting quarterback of the Raiders.
Superficial analysis of the situation. It is fair and honest and objective analysis. Yeah. By David Carr of the situation, even if it's his brother who gets thrown overboard, he's willing to say what he genuinely believes, blocked by his brother or WTF text messages from his brother, be damned. Now, next level, cynical analysis, and this is something Sim suggested, and I'm sure he'll speak his piece about it tomorrow morning on PFT Live. What if this is something that David and Derek communicated about ahead of time, and Derek said, go ahead and do it because I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of this constant speculation. I'm sick of them never coming out and saying I'm the guy. I'm sick of them not giving me an extension. I'm sick of them saying we're constantly looking for an upgrade. Because Mike Mayock has said that at least once a year for the last 2 or 3 years, ever since Mayock became the GM. Remember, they looked at Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray going into the 2019 draft. Why? Because they're always looking for an upgrade at quarterback. Even at quarterback, there's no sacred cows. And I think Derek Carr may be sick of it. That's Sims' argument. And there may be some merit to that, that Derek's just had enough. You know, if you're going to play this game, if you're going to come out and shoot this down, because if I'm Derek Carr and Russell Wilson, through his agent, targets my job, I want my team to come out and say, we're not doing it. Now, the reality is he's Russell Wilson. And then that may be the truth. David Carr realizes it's Russell Wilson, but it was just 3 years ago that David Carr assessed his brother's skills as being greater than Russell Wilson. So something weird's going on here.
Yeah, something very weird's going on here, Mike. And frankly, Russell Wilson is an upgrade over Derek Carr when you consider that Derek Carr has done nothing in the postseason. He missed the postseason game that he could have played in. He was hurt when they played the Texans. So, you know, he hasn't done anything in the postseason to let you say this guy's going to lead us to a Super Bowl. 2016 was his best season. He went 12-3 as a starter. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. But when you just look over the last couple of years, the last 4 years, frankly, he was MVP candidate in 2016. In the last 4 years, he hasn't done very much. Yes, he's gotten more MVP votes than Russell Wilson ever has, because I think he got some in 2016 when he had the great season.
Yes.
But having said that, Russell Wilson, I think we'd all agree, including David Carr, is the better quarterback.
Yep, absolutely. And again, I feel like something is brewing behind the scenes. And who knows, maybe the Raiders are putting together a package to try to get Russell Wilson. Maybe the Saints are, maybe the Bears are. The only team that I don't think is doing it is the Cowboys, because you can't trade Dak Prescott as a practical matter. You'd have to let Dak Prescott walk away and get compensatory draft pick consideration next year. And I just think it'd be too hard with everything you have to give up to put a competitive team around Russell Wilson if you make that move. Speaking of teams in the NFC East, Washington, the defending champion, this is not a surprise. NFL media reported today that Washington is expected to release Alex Smith. He's got a $19 million non-guaranteed compensation package. We saw his comments from last week where he said they didn't want him to be the starter last year. They didn't want him to come back. They had to pay him anyway because his salary was injury guaranteed. So he's the comeback player of the year, and he's being told don't come back by Washington.
Yeah, and you know, I feel sort of bad for Alex Smith for what he did for Washington and coming back, but what a great success story. And I don't know how this movie ends, because I do think there's a movie that's going to play out here, but whether, you know, he goes to the Bears, which you speculated would be a great landing spot for him. How about him going back to Kansas City and backing up Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I think he's an upgrade on Chad Henne. I know Chad Henne had the great playoff game, a couple plays there that he made. But if I'm the Chiefs, I want Alex Smith on my roster. He knows my offense. He's been around Patrick Mahomes. He can help Patrick Mahomes. That, to me, would be perhaps a perfect ending to this story. Let him go win a Super Bowl with the Chiefs as a backup quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. But however it turns out, he's going to end up somewhere, because he's a better backup than a lot of teams have right now, Mike. And when you have him, you have a chance. He did go 5-1. I know he threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns, 8-6. But I still think you can win with this guy if you have some players around him. And the Chiefs, team like the Chiefs, certainly have players around him that would allow him to go out and win some games in the event that Patrick Mahomes was hurt.
We kicked around the idea of Smith to the Chiefs last week on PFT Live. Sims makes the argument that Smith doesn't have the arm that Chad Henne has. And given the way that offense has changed, you need the arm to get the ball down the field. But I think that Alex Smith would be an upgrade over Matt Moore. And he would cost the same if we're talking about a minimum salary deal, $1.075 million. That's the minimum for 7 years or more from then on till the end of your career. It never gets any higher. Now, I don't know that Alex Smith would play for $1.075 million. But if he wants to keep playing, if he wants to be part of something, if he wants to maybe lay the foundation to coach when he's done playing, being that third string guy, being that veteran presence, helping develop Patrick Mahomes, helping him get to the next level, these are all things that could maybe set Alex Smith up for a spot on the Chiefs coaching staff. And those entry-level coaching jobs definitely don't pay $1.075 million per year. So we'll see how that plays out for Alex Smith. And obviously Washington will need a new starting quarterback. The Cowboys' starting quarterback, at least for now, continues to be Dak Prescott. We're going to take a break. When we return, a closer look at the Dallas Cowboys offseason, starting with the $37.68 million question of whether or not they'll get Dak Prescott signed to a long-term deal. We'll be right back.
Player after player reaching out, patting Dak Prescott on the back, rubbing his head, giving him a hug. You can hear the crowd. Prescott extending a fist up in the air, and Prescott is in tears. This is your worst nightmare.
Badly broken ankle for Dak Prescott against the Giants in week 5 of the 2020 season. All indications are Recovery is going well. He'll be ready to go. The first problem, though, for him and the Cowboys is what will be the financial terms of the ongoing relationship between Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in 2021 and potentially beyond. So we're going to play a little true or false to discuss the Cowboys offseason. We're going to begin with Dak Prescott. True or false, Shireen, Dak will sign a new deal with the Cowboys this offseason, and not franchise tag, a new long-term contract. True or false?
Well, I say it's true, Mike, simply because the Cowboys can't afford that franchise tag. They've got to get this done, and they've got to get it done before March 9th, which, checking my calendar, is next week. So each side knows what the other wants. There should be no surprises. They've been through this for almost 2 years. Get it figured out. But I do have a question for you. Let's say they don't get a deal done, okay, March 9th. Let's say, for the sake of argument, they don't franchise him. Who is going to sign him, and how much are they going to give him, considering he is coming off a couple of ankle surgeries? Don't know how that ankle's going to respond. Not going to be able to run till April or May. Are people interested in him? Are people giving him, Mike, $35 to $40 million a year in a long-term deal to sign him at this point?
Well, you know, that's what I've been saying for the last year, though, because people express uncertainty as to what Dak Prescott's market value is. What's he really worth? The reason we don't know is because the Cowboys have prevented him and anyone else from finding out. Even last year, instead of using the base franchise tag, the non-exclusive tag, which would have entailed a much lower franchise tag number, far lower than $31.4 million, they use the exclusive tag that prevents anyone from talking to him, anyone from signing him, anyone from saying, yeah, we'll give up 2 first-round picks for Dak Prescott. So the Cowboys made this bet. The Cowboys are the ones who have kept us and Dak and anyone else from finding out what the market is for his services. So, hey, if the Cowboys think his market doesn't start at $37.68 million per year in new money, and that shouldn't be influenced by the reality that next year he'll make $45 million under the transition tag or $54 million if he's franchise tagged again, let him become a free agent. Let him become a free agent.
Yeah.
Let's see what's out there. Let him hit that 48-hour window where his agent, Todd France, can talk to anyone. And by the end of that 48 hours, they may realize, holy crap, there's nothing better than what the Cowboys have been offering. And, you know, we don't really want to leave the Cowboys because being with the Cowboys, being the Cowboys quarterback, unlocks all sorts of earning potential and post-career jobs in broadcasting. And I know Dak has poo-pooed that, and I don't think the Cowboys should get a discount for it. But if all things are equal, you take that job with the Cowboys. And so we don't know what someone else would offer. That may be the only real solution here. Now, the question I would have and the concern I'd have if I was the Cowboys, if you let him hit the market, he leaves just to prove a point. But then at that point, I'd say, see you later. If that's it, that's it. I just think that's a better outcome than $37.68 million, which would buy you one more year as a practical matter, or a long-term deal with $37.68 million this year as the leverage. That's going to drive the number up. So, I'm a big fan of guys being able to go to the market. And if we're going to have this undercurrent of, well, nobody else is going to pay him what the Cowboys would pay him, well, there's one way to find out. Let him become a free agent and we'll see what someone else would pay him.
Yeah, and then at that point, you use the 10th overall pick, Mike, on a quarterback. You draft your quarterback of the future and you hope he's as good or better than Dak Prescott, frankly. But, you know, I am curious what he would get on the open market. And I'm very curious about that. I'm sure he's curious about it, too. I'm sure the Cowboys are curious about it. But I do think over the next 7 days that the Cowboys get this deal done. And I don't know why I'm so confident with this, because, like I said, they've had 2 years to do this and they haven't gotten it done yet. But I just have a belief in Jerry. Jerry's never let a player leave who he's really wanted to keep. I mean, he's always managed to do it. Now, Dak's been the one guy who's kind of drawn the line in the sand and hadn't let Jerry get in his ear and convince him to take the deal. We've seen it done many, many times, including Dez Bryant at the 11th hour after they franchise tagged him a few years ago. So who knows how this ends, Mike, but I am going to bet that the Cowboys get this done over the next week. If not the next week, they get it done before July.
I remember with DeMarcus Lawrence, he put the squeeze on the Cowboys to get a long-term deal done well before July 15. July 15 is usually the deadline, but for Dak. Again, you don't want to carry $37.68 million into 2021. You want to get a lower cap number. And if you sign into a long-term deal, you will have a lower cap number for this year. Also, you don't want to use the second tag on Dak, because then if you ever tag him again, let's say you do a four-year deal, and 4 years from now, we're trying to figure out what the Cowboys are going to do next. Well, Dak would be looking at a 44% increase over his cap number for the last year of his contract, because those tags stack on top of each other. So you don't want to use it the second time. You want to hold it for the next time his contract comes up, because he's going to be your quarterback for another 10 or 15 years. The way that things are going for NFL quarterbacks, if you want to keep him, he's going to be a guy who has multiple additional contracts. And once you use franchise tag number two, it makes it very difficult to ever use franchise tag number three because of the 44% rule. Also, this is a nuance that gets lost on a lot of fans, and the agents don't like it when I talk about this. But there is a fundamental difference between the value of a contract when it's given to a guy while he's still under his rookie deal. We get obsessed with the new money average because it's always going to be higher than the value of that new contract from the moment it's signed. There's no such thing as an extension in the NFL. They don't take your current contract and staple a new one onto the end of it. They tear up your contract and they replace it with a new one. Agents desperately want those contracts to be valued based upon the new money. Because if you look at only the new money and you run the numbers on the average, it's always going to be much more than the full value of the deal. But with Dak, you're starting off full value. And let me give you an example. Deshaun Watson's contract, new value, new money value of $39 million per year when he signed it in September. If you look at it at signing, it is $29 million. The value at signing, $29 million per year. And that's relevant here because when you're looking at Dak's deal, you know, you get $37.6 million as your average at signing. That's just a couple million behind Patrick Mahomes, who was at $39.8 million at signing. So these are real factors that complicate this, and that we'll see whether there's any capitulation by Dak Prescott. But you know what? If I'm Dak, I'm tempted to say, I'll just go one more year at $37.68 million, and next year I'll hit the open market, and then we'll find out what I'm worth.
So are you saying true or false that they get this done before July 15th, Mike?
I think false. I think they don't get it done. And I think either they do the franchise tag again this year or they let him hit free agency and he leaves. That's what I think. But I think the more likely thing is 37.68, because really, why would he at this point? Why would he do an about face on the approach he's taken from day one, telling the Jones family, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. You know, the tactics you've used with others, throwing the arm around me and saying, aw, shucks, and please see it our way. It's never worked. Why would it work all of a sudden? He's got the ultimate leverage, $37.68 million for 2021, and then a ticket to the open market next year. You're at the 10-yard line. So you can either be Daniel Jones and trip over your own 2 feet, or you can run it into the end zone. And for Dak Prescott, running it into the end zone means taking the $37.68 million.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens, Mike. This is going to play out, and we're going to know at least something next Tuesday, whether they tag him or not, whether they get a deal done or not. And then the next deadline we look at is July 15th. So we'll see what happens in the next week, you know, if there are reports that come out that they're getting close or they're talking or whatever the case may be. But we're going to see what Dak Prescott does for next season. I do think if he plays under the tag, let's say they do tag him, I do think it's his last year in Dallas. Just like Kirk Cousins left Washington, I think Dak's headed out the door.
Then why bother? Let him walk away now. That's the thing. If your choice is $37.68 million for one more year, or let him hit the market now. If you're the Cowboys, let him hit the market now, and let's see what someone's going to pay a guy who can't run yet after breaking his ankle last year. I mean, at a certain point, you have to be ruthless about it to get the best possible deal for your team, and that may be what they have to do. All right, let's hyperdrive through these last three. True or false, Ezekiel Elliott will bounce back and live up to the contract he signed a couple of years ago?
I'm going to say false, Mike. He just hadn't looked like the same back over the last 2 years. I mean, the first 3 years of his career, he averaged over 100 yards per game. He averaged 4.7 yards per carry. The last 2 years, 75 yards per game, 4.3 yards per carry. Now, how much of that is Dallas's offensive line, which hasn't been the same over the last 2 years? There may be something to that. We may find that out this year. If Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Lyle Collins can stay healthy, he's going to have, should have a good offensive line again. Maybe it's some of the offensive line. But I just don't think that Ezekiel Elliott has looked like the back that we saw the first 3 years of his career, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you. And sometimes these guys can just burn out early in their careers, and it's hard to get back to where you were once you kind of slide off the horse. He's still great, but he's not great at the level that that contract that he got would suggest. True or false, Dan Quinn was the right defensive coordinator to improve the Cowboys' defense, which was abysmal last year under Mike Nolan.
I'm going to say true because I think a lot of Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator, I think he did great things in Seattle. He kind of brings back that Tampa 2 defense that the Cowboys played under and, in fact, were okay 2 years ago with the defense that they had, and Mike Nolan came in there and really destroyed it. I mean, they were 23rd in overall defense, 31st against the run. They just weren't very good last year. So I think he gets them better, Mike, just by what he does as a defensive coordinator, because I think an awful lot of him as a defensive coordinator. Got to upgrade the talent, but I think the coaching's going to be better.
Always helps, too, to have another guy with head coaching experience around to be conscience, to be a voice, to be a counter, to be, especially when Mike McCarthy had it a little bit rough last year with the Cowboys. I think it helps having Dan Quinn to lean on. All right, last one. 2021 Cowboys will win the NFC East. True or false?
Well, I'm going to say true right now because as of today, they have the best quarterback in the division. Not realize he's not signed. I get that. But taking in everything into account, Dak Prescott as their quarterback, I think they have the best quarterback in the division. We don't know what Washington's going to do at that position. We don't know ultimately what Philadelphia will end up. But I'm saying right now, today, they have the best quarterback. We haven't seen a team repeat in this division, I don't think, since the division came into play, this four-team division that it is now, the way it is now. A team has not repeated in this division, so that doesn't bode well for Washington. I don't like Philadelphia's roster based on the salary cap that their problems that they're going to have. So I would say yes at this point, Mike.
Here's my problem. The Cowboys every year fool me into thinking that because of their talent, they're going to be better than they end up being. I picked them to be the number one seed in 2020. What the hell was wrong with me? So I'm going to say false. I'm going to say false just because I think the Giants are in a position to make a jump. With the Eagles, who the hell knows what's going to happen? But I like what Washington has going on, even with a quarterback change. I like Ron Rivera. I like what he's done, and I like what he can do to get the most out of that team. All you got to have is the best record of four teams that aren't that great, and I still think the Cowboys are away from being as great as Jerry Jones needs them to be as he tries to get back. Not just how about just get back to an NFC Championship game? That hasn't happened since 1995. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. When we return, the top 100 PFT free agent list is out. Blame it all on Shireen. She did it, not me. We'll talk about it when PFT PM returns right after this.
Dietz & Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Notre Dame has an unbelievable history, an unbelievable tradition, and is a great place to coach and a great place to be at. Stanford is like no other place that values the student athlete. So those two experiences were both wonderful. But I am, and I am extremely proud to say this, I am a Black man, and I wouldn't want to be anything else. And because of that, I had wonderful parents that taught me it was important to give back. So in going to Notre Dame, one of my reasons was that this could be a move to help us, to help African Americans.
Coming up at 6 Eastern on NBCSN, it's an all-new episode of Race and Sports in America. Tony Dungy talks with former head coach Ty Willingham and Maryland head coach Mike Locksley for a roundtable discussion on the state of minority coaching in college football. That's at 6 Eastern on NBCSN. Earlier today at ProFootballTalk.com, we pulled the sheet off of the top 100 free agent list, something that Shireen Williams, I don't know how you originally got the assignment. I'm fine with the fact that you did. You put a lot of time and effort into it, and then you send it to me, and I procrastinate for a week before I finally look at it and tell you, do this, thanks, and post it tomorrow. And I didn't tell you all that. I didn't have all that much input. I think it's a very good list, and it puts a lot of effort into one document. And it's got to be difficult to do. It's like voting for Hall of Fame players. It's all different sizes and shapes and positions of football players. But there's a list. There's the top 10. You can find the full 100 at ProFootballTalk.com. Dak Prescott, number one, even though we currently don't expect him to make it to the open market. I guess there's a chance he does. And, Shireen, look, I who knows? Who knows how it's all going to shake out? Who knows who's going to get the big contracts? But the thing is, the guys closer to the top are the guys more likely to be franchise tagged.
Yeah, no question about that, Mike. And it is a pain in the butt, especially when you get down to those probably the last 50 players. I mean, you could pick any number of players. And it's just like, you know, teams' lists. Like, teams have different lists, right? They don't all agree. I'm sure not every team agrees that Dak Prescott would be the top free agent in this class. So we all had different opinions. Everybody has input in this. Of course, MDS always wants the running backs lower. I probably have too many running backs in there for him. And Mike always wants the quarterbacks higher. So Cam Newton's probably higher than any of us had him. But it is input from everybody. But it is a pain in the butt. And, of course, a lot of guys who aren't on there, their agents aren't happy. They aren't happy. Some are lower than they think they should be. But it's our list, and, you know, why should they care? If a team's interested in them, it only takes one of 32 teams, and they sign with somebody, who cares what we think, right?
The complaints from agents instantly started, which tells me you did a good job with it because you're striking a nerve with some of these guys. For me, though, I look at quarterback, pass rusher, tackle, especially left tackle.
Yeah.
Those are the three that are the most important, and it's the hardest to find in the draft or anywhere but the draft. So when they're available in free agency, they have a little more heft in my mind because the only other way you're going to find a good one is to hope you get lucky in the draft and develop him. All right, let's do this. For the top five guys, projected destination, excuse me, for each one. Let's start with Dak Prescott. Who's he going to play for in 2021?
I say Cowboys. They're going to franchise tag him if they don't get him signed by next week, Mike.
Yeah, I think so too, although I'm kind of talking myself out of the wisdom of franchise tagging him and maybe just let him hit the market. But either way, I think the Cowboys find a way to keep him. Allen Robinson, Bears receiver, who's he play for next year?
I think he goes somewhere else, whether the Bears tag him and trade him or whether he works, they just let him walk and he works out a deal elsewhere. I'm going to go with the Colts because the Colts have a need at receiver. They can use a receiver. It just makes sense to me that he would go to the Colts. The Jets are a possibility too, but I like him a fit for the Colts.
I think he's going to stay put. I think they'll franchise tag him if need be, but I think he's going to stay put. They recognize the value there, and they don't have many great offensive players. Leonard Williams, Giants defensive lineman, where does he go next year?
He's another one, Mike, whether it's a tag and trade or whether he walks away. I think he ends up somewhere else next year. I'm going to guess the Chargers. I think he would fit in well there. I think the Chargers are building toward contention, and I just think to go with Joey Bosa would be amazing for Leonard Williams.
Again, I hate to be this way because I love player movement. I love free agency. I love what it does for our traffic. I know, but I think Leonard Williams is going to stay with the Giants. I think all these top guys are going to stay where they are. Justin Simmons, Broncos safety, where does he go?
Well, we've already heard that they're going to franchise tag him if they can't work out a long-term deal. So I think he stays with the Broncos, Mike. I think he's an important piece to that defense.
Agreed as well. And then finally, Shaq Barrett at number five, the pass rusher for the Buccaneers. I think the most important guy they have to keep. Who does he play for, in your opinion, next year?
Oh, the Bucs. They absolutely have to keep. He's the number one they have to keep with the number of sacks that he had last year. If you lose him, you got to find a pass rusher somewhere. So I think they keep Shaq Barrett. I think he's their best option. When you look at what he did in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, 4 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, 3 tackles for loss, he was very important to them winning those last 2 games, Mike.
I think they have to keep him. He said recently he wants to break the bank, and if they can sign him to a long-term deal, they could tag Chris Godwin if they can make the numbers work. Here are the results. Quick one that we didn't expect. If Dak Prescott doesn't play for the Cowboys, who does he play for in your assessment, Shireen?
Ooh, that's tough. How about Denver?
I'm thinking Panthers. David Tepper is obsessed with getting a franchise quarterback, and I don't think he's going to get the guy that he wants with a Deshaun Watson trade, Russell Wilson trade, a trade up to get Trevor Lawrence. If it's not the Cowboys, Carolina Panthers for Dak Prescott. That's it for today. Enjoy the evening. See you tomorrow.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.